is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg, and with me as always, posing longingly in front of American Airlines Arena, it's David Ramil.
It's warm out here, I'll tell you that much.
Are you wearing way too much jewelry than you need to be while on a boat?
I'm in South Florida. That's all. That's how I always stand when I'm near South Florida. You know, it's always, every time I go through there, it's always reminiscing about the great times I've had in any of so many different locations.
So that LeBron James Instagram picture was really something, huh? I mean, just, I'm not going to talk about whether or not it means he's coming back to the Heat, because that's just that's like very first takey, but because he's not.
Let's do it.
All right. Fine.
No, he's not coming back.
Okay, yes, I agree. All right. No, but he was, okay, first of all, he's vacationing in South Florida, right? As we know, he loves Miami. Just because he left Miami doesn't mean, it's kind of funny that Twitter gets all up in arms when they see one picture of LeBron James in Miami, or really it was two pictures because he posted two of them to his Instagram. But it's Heat fans, a few of them, that were petty when LeBron left. LeBron didn't leave necessarily in a petty way. You could disagree with how he did it. But at least in public, they've always been pretty congenial, if not, you know, in good terms. Like, he speaks wonderfully of his time with the Heat. He's in public has said nothing but positive things about Pat Riley and how he respects him and appreciates the time he had under Coach Spoelstra. And he goes to South Florida often.
But that's debatable, though. So his connection to South Florida is one thing. One, it's South Florida. Sure. You're rich, young, and, you know, you can have access to all sorts of equipment and yachts by the water. Of course, South Florida is a better option than Lake Erie. I mean, it just makes sense. But right. At the same time, I think there are issues about how he left Miami. And I can understand that perspective of the Miami Heat fan base that feels like he led Miami along.
My point was that just because he's back in Florida and posts a picture to his Instagram account saying he loved those years at American Airlines Arena doesn't mean that he's suddenly over some grudge he has. Like, it was just a picture. Right. It doesn't mean that he's suddenly over something and he's ready to return to Miami. And
But in combination with a story written a couple weeks ago, but from Kevin O'Connor over The Ringer, and then a couple days ago from Jeff Zieglet over at USA Today, mm-hmm. it sounds like he is actively, let's say, uninspired by the moves that Dan Gilbert has made over the last few weeks. I mean, they went into free agency by basically not renewing their general manager, David Griffin, who is, by all accounts and by LeBron's own Twitter account, somebody that who is worthy of respect and has done a really, really good job of trying to collect as many assets.
It's going to be crazy if Dan Gilbert pushes LeBron out of Cleveland twice, arguably go down, who could potentially go down as the greatest to ever play the sport, and an owner is going to push him out twice, possibly.
But it changes the narrative. This is the brilliant thing about LeBron. Ever since the decision, it's been so clear that he is trying to shape the narrative in the players' favor. And it makes sense. I mean, the players should have the ability to shape the narrative. Mm-hmm. I'm a little surprised that the Players Tribune didn't come out from him, because giving voice to players seems like something he's been actively trying to create since 2010. I mean, from the decision and everything he's done since then, it's all about kind of fighting back on the establishment, the ownership that kind of controls the way players do things. And look, he can – I think that whatever stigma might still be left from 2010 will be completely erased if you can kind of shift the narrative to say, look, this guy has forced out a general manager. He's collected all these bad contracts and bad assets. He's built his team, and while I appreciated it – a couple years ago when we were making a legitimate challenge to the Golden State Warriors. That's no longer the case. Now he's overpaying for players that no longer are in their prime, and he's pushed people away, and he's pushing me away. So I think he can shape the narrative once again to say, look, this isn't about me. I will always love Cleveland. Cleveland, Akron is my home. I brought a title here. I did everything I could to bring another one. Unfortunately, I just had an owner in place that wasn't willing to do the things necessary in order to build that championship team. And he can go wherever he wants to and play with any friends he wants to, or play with any team he wants to. And that's great. That's the way it should be in the NBA as far as I'm concerned.
So yes or no question. Do you think he is in Cleveland next season?
No, I don't.
Where do you think he is?
I have no idea. I know that Los Angeles seems to be the team that's attracting the most attention. I'm not sure that they'll necessarily have a team in place to help contend for a championship. I mean, that's the Lakers. I don't know.
I think he's gone too. And I, yeah. my prediction is that Lonzo Ball spends the rest of the season wearing LeBron soldiers, right? And quietly recruiting him, kind of kissing up to the king, right? Paying his dues, Paul George, LeBron James, maybe somebody else. I don't know.
Do they have the kind of cap space at this point with the Walt Deng's contract?
The recent report is that they're going to try to create cap space for not one but two max contracts.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's Julius Randle and the Walt Deng that they have to get rid of because they already got rid of Mozgov in the D'Angelo Russell. Right.
Brook Lopez is a free agent who they took back in exchange for D'Angelo Russell.
So they've got more picks that they could attach to those guys. It's not going to be hard to trade Julius Randle. He's a good young player, and if a team wants him, all they got to do is trade for him.
But they'd have to do it at this point this season before he becomes a restricted free agent next summer.
I mean, the deal that's out there for the Lakers, and not to make this locked on Lakers because there's already one of those, but the deal that's out there for the Lakers is a three-way trade where you trade Julius Randle to Team A. Team B trades a first round. I'm sorry, Julius Randle to Team A. Team A trades a first round pick to Team B, and the Lakers trade Luol Deng to Team B. Right, so Team B gets a first round pick at the price of taking Luol Deng. So they buy Luol Deng, they buy the first round pick, I should say, and then that other team gets rid of a first round pick for Julius Randle, and that Team A would probably be a team picking in the 20s somewhere, maybe in the teens, possibly.
Possibly
not a lottery pick. It would probably be a lottery protected pick, but that's the deal that's kind of out there that I think would work. So okay, we've got a whole mailbag to do here.
But before we get into our mailbag, shouldn't we tell our good friends and listeners about the wonderful work that's being done over at SeatGeek?
Absolutely. SeatGeek is making your buying experience for tickets better than it's ever been before, because buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, right? I mean, it shouldn't be that complicated. SeatGeek also decided it can't be that complicated. They're making it better.
Absolutely. You know, a friend of mine from Miami was like, I want to go see the Mumford & Sons concert that's coming to American Airlines Arena. They're not my favorite band.
Your first question was why, and your second comment was SeatGeek.
Me and my girlfriend, special song, et cetera, et cetera. I was like, sure, whatever. And I won't judge you, although I'll totally judge you. But if you want to buy tickets, I don't even know. I don't want to ask too many questions. When it comes to Mumford & Sons, I'm not digging too deeply into that.
I will wait for you. That's what it is, right? I guess so.
But I told him, look, the best way to do it is SeatGeek. He was like, SeatGeek? What the hell is SeatGeek? He's not a sports guy. He's never seen or heard our commercials. I was a little disappointed to find that out. But I told him, download the app. He did it. He bought the tickets. So happy with it. And I'm pretty sure that he's getting the $20 back.
Is he using the that cool little feature where they show you a big green dot for good deals and a small red dot for not so good deals?
Absolutely. Yeah. He told me all about it. He said it was the easiest thing. It took him like 5 minutes to get the tickets he wanted.
All right. Well, I'm hoping he uses our promo code LONBA to get $20 off of his first SeatGeek purchase, since he's never apparently used it before.
That's right.
And our listeners can too. All they got to do is download the app, the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, enter the promo code LONBA. You guys can get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. That's enough for like a t-shirt, maybe half a t-shirt now, a beer and a hot dog or something, whatever you're going to. $20 off. SeatGeek purchase. All right.
Do people eat hot dogs at concerts?
Well, sports games.
Okay.
Good and you got to, and if you're in a Mumford, I don't know. I've never been to a Mumford and Sons concert. Who knows?
Hey, Jack Johnson, settle down. I don't think we can. We can't throw stones in glass houses.
I was waiting for that. All right, let's just go into our mailbag here.
We do eat at concerts banana pancakes apparently. So anyway, let's move on.
Don't knock it till you try it. All right. Yeah. First question comes from Dirk Klosterman, which is, I think, what, the Swedish cousin of Chuck Klosterman?
I hope not.
Hey, guys. I was wondering, with John Wall and Russell Westbrook being hesitant to accept their Supermax offers, would they be available for a potential trade for Miami? And what kind of package would have to be created for each? Thank you. First of all, the Thunder aren't trading Westbrook. They're not. They already traded the farm for a season of Paul George. They are banking on some sort of magical season that convinces both Westbrook and George to stay. And it could happen. Magical doesn't mean they have to win the title, but if they could sniff the Western Conference Finals, Paul George and Westbrook have a reason to stay, at least, right? So that they're not trading Westbrook right after they trade for Paul George. It's just not happening. John Wall is a realistic target, I think, because he's not, as Dirk says, he's not signing the Supermax. He's in a wait-and-see approach, it seems, at the Wizards. I mean, if you're a Washington fan right now, I'd be worried, right? This is the template for a superstar leaving. Deny the Supermax, get free agency a little bit closer. It'll be 2 years away for John Wall. And if you're the Wizards, you've got to think, well, we should maybe trade this guy sooner rather than later, because if he leaves, the Wizards are a team that are in the playoffs. They're among the top four or five teams in the Eastern Conference. You could trade John Wall for something. If you could trade John Wall for, I don't know, 60, 70% of his value, you're still a playoff team, right? But if he just walks and you get nothing for him, you're not anymore, because you're not at least immediately, because Bradley Beal and Otto Porter are good young players, but they're not leading you to the playoffs just yet. Even you probably need a third player to get there, even though the East, who knows, it's so bad. But point being, go ahead.
I'm curious, why do you think Wizards fans should be concerned about Wall not signing it, but Thunder fans shouldn't be worried about Westbrook not signing it?
No, I didn't say that. I think Thunder fans should be absolutely freaking out right now about Westbrook and Paul George. Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, look, I don't know where Westbrook's going. I don't know where Paul George is going to go. But the fact that your entire franchise right now, look, Durant's gone. The team traded Harden. It's all about Westbrook now, right? And Paul George, obviously. Like, I would be excited for this season because regardless, you're going to get both of them. Because the Thunder aren't trading either of them this year. You're going to get you're going to get a great show for 1 year, guaranteed. I'd also be worried, Paul George could just go to Oklahoma City and then convince Russell Westbrook to go to the Lakers with him with LeBron James or something crazy like that. Who knows?
There was a great piece that came out a couple days ago, maybe late last week, from Sports Illustrated's Lee Jenkins. Did you get a chance to read that?
Mm-hmm. The Paul George piece?
Yes. Yeah. You know, how they're wooing him. And, you know, there were a couple different pieces. He had one where, you know, Kevin Durant spoke to Paul George, really sold him on the franchise and the city and everything else. And it just seems like, you know, Durant didn't leave Oklahoma City because he had a problem with Oklahoma City. He just wanted to play somewhere else and try something different.
He didn't leave Indiana. Or no, Durant didn't.
Durant didn't leave OKC because there was something wrong with OKC. It's just, it wasn't for him. And he's flighty and whimsical and everything else. But Westbrook, and the second piece from Jenkins, he makes it seem like, and he's already talked to Westbrook a couple of times, he seems to have a real good grip on Westbrook's tough-to-peg personality. Like, this is a guy who I've seen up close being very, very, I don't know what word to use other than crazy, or something is escaping me right now. He is eccentric. Very, very, no, that doesn't do it justice. Like he has real issues that might manifest, like OCD kind of things.
Like
he controls press conferences to the way, like even at in a post-practice scrum, like he didn't want anybody walking behind him, and he was absolutely paranoid about these kinds of things. And the point being that Westbrook is a very unique personality, but Jenkins seems to have a good take on and how a good grip on how he'll react to things. He seems to think Westbrook is kind of tailor-made for a place like Oklahoma City. So I think Westbrook isn't leaving anywhere.
And there's no way they're trading him, to go back to the question here.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
No. So they'll take their chance. I think Presti, he's confident enough that he can rebuild, that he'll make another move. And if it takes, you know, a couple of years in order to get back into playoff contention, so be it. John Wall, though, that is – okay, to go back to Dirk's question then, is there a potential package that Miami would be able to feel for John Wall to make it an interesting package or for Washington?
So the typical price – right, for a superstar player, let's go back to the Shaq trade, right? It's typically one all-star. That's usually not to the level of the superstar, right? But an all-star player, a nice young player, a solid rotational piece, and a first-round pick. Those are the four ingredients that equal a trade for a superstar. But then I look back on the latest trades for superstars. DeMarcus Cousins, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, right? For Cousins, Sacramento got Buddy Hield. Nice young player, rookie, right? Tyreek Evans, solid rotational piece. Langston Galloway, a fine young player, just more of a deep rotational piece. And a 2017 first and second. And that first round pick was going to be a lottery pick. Paul George, Indiana got Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. That was kind of a weird trade, right? Because apparently there was other deals that kind of that Indiana didn't take, and it's that whole thing. And they were kind of panicking and just got rid of him. Jimmy Butler, Zach LaVine, nice young player. Chris Dunn, also a nice young player. The 7th pick in the draft. For some reason, Minnesota also had to throw in the 16th pick in the draft, which still boggles my mind.
Chicago did.
So, look, it's going to be two young players and a first-round pick minimum. That gets you in the conversation, right? So, Miami doesn't have a first-round pick. So, that's going to really hurt whatever package they have that they could put together. They don't have a first-round pick that they could trade. Unless we're talking about, like, 2023 or 2024, which, if you're the Wizards, why would you do that? So, at the same time, dumping a contract is worth about a first round pick, right? You have to pair a first round pick with the player with the egregious contract in order to dump them. That's typically the price. So following with that logic, right? So Miami could take on a bad contract, and that should, in the transitive property, right, be worth a first round pick. So here's my proposed deal. You got to trade Goran Dragic, obviously. Yes. So he's got to be part of the package. I've got two potential packages. The first one, Goran Dragic, Dion Waiters, and either Justice Winslow or Bam Adebayo, right? The Wizards pick, whichever one they want. Do you want a wing to pair along with Otto Porter and Kelly Oubre, or do you want a nice young center in Adebayo? So one of those three. And the Heat also have to take, the Heat get Wall, but they also have to take the contract of Ian Mahinmi, right? So that's the value of the first round pick there. We can't give you a first round pick, but we'll take this really bad contract off your hands to help you build post John Wall.
Okay.
The other deal, of course, is Dragic and Whiteside straight up for Wall and Mahinmi. Those are the two deals that I think can get Miami in the conversation.
Interesting. Yeah, I hadn't really considered the nuts and bolts of it, but you're right. I mean, Dragic is obviously something you have to include. Given the fact that Miami doesn't have a draft pick, the next best thing is probably to include Bam Adebayo.
Yes. Especially if he has a strong first half of the season. Let's say if this is a trade deadline deal.
Yes.
If he has a really good first half, or if Winslow at the same time has a really... I mean, Winslow's only 2 years older, I think, than Adebayo, right? He's 21. Yeah. This is age 21 season. Adebayo's 19. It's still really young. So if either one of those guys have a really strong first half, they become very valuable.
I could see them including somebody like Josh Richardson.
As like a third or fourth piece?
Yes.
Okay, but not in replacement of Winslow or Adebayo. Like, it might also take Josh Richardson.
No. I mean, it's definitely going to take Dragic. And I would think Adebayo, maybe Richardson. And maybe a future first, too, to be honest with you.
Not Waiters?
I don't think they'd want him because they've got Beal for such a huge contract. And I don't think they see Waiters as being a guy that they can incorporate there.
Come off the bench type guy?
Maybe. Yeah, their bench was very weak.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Scott Brooks has a relationship with him from Oklahoma City.
Yep. I mean, if you're the Wizards, right, and Miami offers you – let's take that second one, right? I actually like that second one for Washington a little bit more. If you're Washington and John Wall's like, I'm leaving. you know, in 2 years, trade me, right? Goes to the front office. You better trade me sooner rather than later. And they say, okay, let's get on the phone. Miami offers Dragic and Whiteside. Now, if you're Washington and Miami says, we'll give you Dragic and Whiteside, we'll take Mahimi off your hands, no draft picks. Washington still would have their draft picks, right? Mm-hmm. They ship Wall off, who is walking out the door anyway. They dump the that horrible $16 million a year contract from Mahimi, and they get an all-star level point guard in Goran Dragic, an all-star level center in Hassan Whiteside, a position of need for them, while dumping the bad center contract that they have. And now all of a sudden you have Goran Dragic at point guard, Bradley Beal at shooting guard, Otto Porter, who you just maxed out, whichever Morris they have, and Whiteside at center with Oubre coming off the bench and Santoransky and all those other guys. Like, that's a nice starting five for them. That could get them, and that keeps them in the playoff hunt, right? You're able to trade John Wall, get two good players in return, and still stay in the playoff hunt with a guy that's relatively young, like Whiteside, 27 this year, who could still get better. And you're really building at that point around Otto Porter and Bradley Beal, who you just extended both of them for max deals. I like that deal if I'm Washington. I like that more than getting Waiters and a young player.
Do you like that deal for Miami, though?
I love that deal for Miami.
Just to get back Wall?
Yeah.
And then pay him an exorbitant amount of money.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, John Wall is worth it, right? First of all, his ceiling defensively is way higher than Goran Dragic. And
well, sure.
And offensively, of course, he's just a menace. And look, you're able to... The kind of underlying thing here, there's a thing bubbling under the surface for the Heat right now, and that is eventually they're going to have to trade Whiteside. If Bam Adebayo pans out, they're going to have to trade Whiteside, I should say, because you got to give him playing time at some point. And can he play power forward? Yeah, probably. But he's best utilized at the five, and you're paying Whiteside a lot of money right now. So if you're
paying Olynyk a lot of money too.
Yeah. So if you have Adebayo there at that center spot, and he develops the way that the Heat hope he does, and his versatility, I mean, watching him at Summer League, just getting rebounds and bringing the ball down the court and finding open teammates, passing the ball, hitting jumpers. I mean, his ceiling is so much higher than Whiteside's. It's crazy. And he's so much more athletic and more – he's such a better fit for the modern game. You pair – if you trade Whiteside to Washington, right, and you help them fill that center need, that center position that they've been trying to fill for years, they could do that with Whiteside immediately. But then that opens the lane for Adebayo to get that starting center spot in the future. Maybe right now you move Olynyk to center and just start him and James Johnson in the front court, because Adebayo would still be a rookie in this hypothetical. But
Mahimi.
Or Mahimi is just your fill-in starter. But in the future, Adebayo becomes your starting five. You have him and John Wall together in transition. That would be insane. I love that deal for the Heat. It increases their ceiling, their developmental ceiling, so much. I love that deal.
Interesting. Thank you, Dirk. That was an interesting question.
All right, before we continue, David and I are asking our listeners, you guys, to participate in a survey. Now, don't hang up right yet. It's really important. It can help grow our show. It can help us pitch it to more potential advertisers and better give you what you like best about the show. It only takes a few minutes to fill out, so all you have to do, go to tinyurl.com/loheatsurvey to find it. We're going to include the link in the show notes as well. Again, it would be really helpful as we try to improve what we're doing here, as we just go through the rest of the offseason, head into the next season. We've completed a whole year of Locked On Heat, and we just want to hear from you guys what you guys like best about the show and what you don't like, and just some other nuts and bolts. So again, tinyurl.com/loheatsurvey. Go there and do that, and we would really appreciate it.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Our next question comes from Lyle Yahweh, and he asks, the Heat use all of their trade money to send McBob, that's Josh McRoberts, to the Dallas Mavericks, and in return, they got A.J. Hammonds. What are Hammonds' strengths, and what will his role on the roster be moving forward?
Well, Hammonds, right, is a Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year a couple of years ago, good shot blocker. He's got good shot blocking instincts, 7 feet tall, 7 foot three wingspan, looks the part, right, has a nice stroke. Can hit some mid-range shots. We saw him hit some threes during the summer league. The question is about his effort, his focus, and his attitude, right?
Yeah. I think that, you know, Dallas doesn't necessarily have the best reputation for developing players. They kind of give up on players, and Rick Carlisle is known to be kind of a hard ass when it comes to getting his players to do exactly what it is he wants. That doesn't necessarily lend itself towards the development purposes. So you wonder whether or not they weren't able to find the right fit for Hammonds or the right way to utilize his skill set. Now, at 7 feet and 260 pounds, he's the guy who fits the kind of traditional mold for a center position to kind of work his way with his back to the basket, et cetera. But from what we saw in Las Vegas Summer League, he's a guy willing to put up the shot from 28 feet out, and especially from the corners. I saw him very comfortably hoisting shots from the corner there, and I think that's probably what he's more geared or more willing to do. So as far as his strengths, I think it's definitely a perimeter shot for a guy that size. You know, call it soft, call it whatever you will. I think those labels kind of fall, more towards the antiquated sense there. But he seems like he's just more willing to shoot from outside. He spaces the floor a lot. He's also got that big body. So if he's close to the rim, he can pull down rebounds. I think Miami could probably get him to take his next level developmentally. I think they can help him kind of focus, being a little bit more intense defensively and continue to work that perimeter game that makes him so effective as a 7-footer. So as his role on the roster, that's where the question comes in, and it ties into another question we have later on, but I don't know that Hammond's necessarily going to have an automatic spot on the roster. Do you see him being part of that opening day roster?
I think if I had to bet a dollar on it, I'd say he would be. It's far from a guarantee.
With Whiteside, Adebayo, Olynyk, possibly, Locked On Heat favorite Luke Babbitt somewhere in the mix there, Udonis Haslam, who still remains unsigned. Yeah. There are options there in the front court.
I could see Hammonds maybe being released and then being So the reason I don't see him being okay, let me backtrack here. I could see him possibly being released and then re-signed as a two-way player, right? Because his skill set is intriguing. And Miami, they really should give him a season or like half a season or something to just see, okay, let's see if we can mold this guy a little bit. We've worked wonders with Hassan Whiteside, who was basically in worse than Hammond's position as far as his standing in the NBA. And Hammonds was a former 46 overall pick last year, right? It's not like he's just some nobody. He was a middle second round pick. Those are good picks. But you've got to give him a chance. Like, that skill set is so enticing. You've got to give him a chance. However, the only reason I don't see them doing that is because his contract is guaranteed. I don't see the Heat releasing him and then paying him again, you know what I mean, take a two-way deal. He's already making $1.5 million thereabouts. You'd have to pay him upwards of $275,000. It's not a lot of money. But then you combine that with another player that you have to pay the minimum $2.3 million for to fill in his spot, that 15th roster spot. That starts to get a little expensive, right? The bills start to add up. So I think he does make the roster at least until the All-Star break thereabouts, until maybe somebody becomes available on the buyout market and Miami's exception is still sitting there.
Yeah, to me, seeing how they kind of utilized Hassan Whiteside, was it 4 seasons ago?
Yeah.
I feel like Hammonds is probably going to follow a similar path. I think that Miami loves to be able to work guys and see what they have in them and then call them up when they feel that's a possibility or where they can realistically make a contribution. They have such faith, as you've written before in the past, in their G League's team. Mm-hmm. And the way that they coach guys there, that to me, I think they'd rather see them kind of benefit from the day in, day out experience of traveling, playing those games, committing and showing their best face. You know, I think with a guy like Hammonds, if you're questioning whether or not he's got the intensity or the consistency to be an NBA player, you want to put him out there and get him as many minutes as possible, buried on the depth chart behind Olynyk and Whiteside and James Johnson and everything else.
And he could still play in the D League, right? He doesn't have to be on a two-way contract to pay the G League. He doesn't have to be on a two-way contract to play in the G League.
But why have him in the roster at all? Why have him take up a roster spot if he's not going to be getting those playing time anyway?
It's the money. It's just, why would you pay him twice, basically? If they release him, I don't think they re-sign him out on a two-way deal. Why would you pay him twice? I just don't see Mickey Arison, who is a savvy owner as far as where he spends his money, doing that. I just don't see.
Yeah, but you don't have to have him on a two-way deal. You can just option him back to the G League, right?
Yeah, but then he could sign anywhere. At that point, if they release him and he clears waivers and he's just floating out there in the ether, maybe they do that and you just pay him like basically nothing. I think if they cut him, they're done with him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see, you know, whether or not the team has any kind of strong take on him. I think they like his potential from everything they've said, although that could just be...
They've got summer league, they've got training camp, they've got preseason. I mean, they're going to get a chance to see him. I mean, by the end of preseason, they might already decide this guy doesn't have it. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't expect Roddy McGruder to be a 60-plus game starter either, so...
All right, well, we're going to have part two of our mailbag coming up after this, but that's we're gonna publish them right away for you guys. So you're gonna get two podcasts right away. We're just breaking them up because we're going long on this because, you know, we had a lot more to say than we thought. So whether you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, thank you for listening. You could send mailbag questions or get information about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Special thanks to SeatGeek, the smartest and easiest way to buy tickets for the games, concerts, or shows that you want to go to. Use the promo code LONBA to get $20 off your first ticket purchase. Make sure you're subscribed to the show. Go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.